It's your True Faith Newcastle United podcast. You got Alex Hurst, Norman Reilly, Michael Carlin to talk about an absolutely massive win for Newcastle United. 1-0 down, 2-1 up. Alan St. Maximan wrapped it up. It's probably what no one will ever sing. Norman, before we get into it, the performance, the team selection, the future, it was simply a game that had to win and they won.
100%. Obviously, on seeing the team sheet initially, seeing that we're starting with five at the back again, seeing that neither Wilson nor Maximan were selected from the start, despite being available, and seeing just, I guess for me, Shelvey again as the kind of, you know, focal point of the midfield, which is always disconcerting, given that he doesn't really seem to contribute much. I just thought, we're going to lose. What I didn't think was we would win. I thought like we might get a draw here, but I never anticipated a win. I thought from the off, like he's got it wrong again, and I was expecting the worst. And obviously, the 45-minute mark, whistle blows for half time, and everything that you've thought pre-match, based on what we've seen, it was kind of true, right? I mean, we weren't particularly good in the first half. Okay, you can argue we definitely should have had a penalty. No two ways about it. But at the same time, I don't think we could have gone in half time 2-0 down at least and thought that there'd been an injustice. That's not saying Burnley were necessarily great, but they were certainly better than us. And obviously the second half starts and you can see what Dyche's plan is. It's like, right, get into them straight away, try and get the second. We go 2-0 up here. That's it. Game over. We rode that storm. Obviously, I'm saying stormy. That was more of a kind of sun shower, right? But we rode it anyways. And then you're looking at him thinking, get them. You've got to get them on. You've got to get them on new. And to be fair to him, he did get them on. And even at that point, I thought, oh, hey, you're bringing them on, but you're not changing the formation. You're basically bringing on Maxi as more or less a centre forward. You're kind of putting Wilson on in Joe Linton's position. How's this going to work? Why are you taking Gale off? Why are you not going 4-4-2? And then guess what happens? Maximan just turns it on. And Maximan, Dubravka and Dummett, I think, were absolute heroes today. No two ways about it.
Yeah, and as much as this win doesn't fix everything, you know, Newcastle lost 17th. Steve Bruce in the post-match press conference talks about two wins in a row. In his head, we probably are much higher in the league, because if you didn't lose to Palace, if that game didn't happen, if the Leeds game didn't happen, and you won against Spurs, even though you didn't, no wonder he thinks he's doing such a good job. Fair play to him. You know, it is a bold thing to do, to go into each press conference with armed with the absolute wrong information, but he does it every week. But he had to win today, and he did, and that's the thing. And what impresses me so much about Alan St. Maximan isn't just that he's a really, really good footballer. You'd think he hadn't played this season, by the way Bruce goes on, he has played. Like, he's not played enough, and it's been a massive loss, but he has been available to the team at points. But last week against Spurs, when he came on, it was kind of like, well, go on, Alan, save her. This week, it was even more pronounced, that expectation. I mean, a lot of players might struggle with that responsibility. A lot of players might feel that, you know, their teammates should potentially do some of the heavy lifting. And it seems to inspire St. Maximan. He seems to play better the more responsibility that is weighed on his shoulders. And I was just thinking, and I know nothing about the French international squad, nothing. But Jesus Christ, they must be a good team if this lad can't even get in the 25 for the Euros because he's some player. Mickey, you know, what's your overriding feeling after that win? Is it more relief or was it a little bit like the weather outside in the northeast here, mate, and probably across the rest of the United Kingdom, wherever the looks fine outside, beautiful sunshine, but actually it's freezing and it's a little bit misleading what's happened today.
It's a perfect analogy. It's one of those days where the brightness tricks you into wearing shorts and t-shirt to go outside and then you're absolutely freezing all day. That's exactly it. It's definitely relief. There's no kind of glee from my perspective. We've got a crucial 3 points on a massive weekend that you know makes it look pretty likely that we're going to do the absolute bare minimum that's required of this squad this year and stay in the Premier League. That is ultimately what it is. It's three massive points, and you know, credit where it's due, we've won a game where we're massively under pressure, where you know over the past 18-20 months we've tended not to perform particularly well when we're absolutely needed to, and we have this time. So you have to be positive about that, you know, that we don't get this kind of moment as a Newcastle fan under this manager too often. However, you know, what is there for us to celebrate, really? Yeah, like we've secured, possibly, not quite yet, but it's looking likely we've secured 17th place in a dismal league where a lot of the teams are terrible around us. And like, and we're supposed to be happy about that. I just think it's a little bit depressing to think about it like that. And I thought your summation of the game there was perfect, Alex. Like, so Maximan has come on and has saved us with an individually brilliant performance, brilliant half an hour. If he doesn't come on, we don't get anything from that game.
I'm definitely not going to look at this as some great turning of the corner. My God, isn't Steve Bruce doing a fantastic job at Newcastle? Because that's clearly not the truth, Reid. We're in a worse position now than when Steve Bruce took over by some distance, and But all I can do is look at it in the context of today, i.e. we've won, right? So as a fan, winning a game is always nice, right? And also, I guess in the context of this season when it ends, we're still in a relegation battle and need 2 years about it. But the way I'm going to look at this new is, as I'll be, I'm happy at the win, happy at seeing Maximan and Wilson play. As I say, happy at individual performances, because that's what you do as a fan, right? But, but it's in the context of this game. There's no, like, for me, there's no kind of, oh my God, aren't we great? Look what we could be. Look what we could be. We're beating Burnley 2-1 away with an individual performance by Maximan, more or less. But in terms of the relegation battle, like, I mean, it is absolutely huge. So there is relief and happiness in that, because those 6 points, that 6 points gap with Fulham new. And let's not kid ourselves, you know, the game in hand doesn't matter, does it? Ultimately, it's Man City, right? So let's just put that down as a win. We're 6 points ahead of them, same amount of games left, let's say. We could feasibly, right, with that 6 point gap, and based on the way Fulham are at the minute, lose our next 5 games, right, and have Sheffield United and Fulham again, and still be outside the relegation zone with enough of a gap to basically beat Sheffield United and stay up. That's the madness of it. So, look, if that transpires, then, I mean, that's really indicative of a shocking season. You know, we'll lose 5 games off the spin, win penultimate one, we'll still stay up. But right now, this particular game, the gap that it's given, with some of the individual performances, as a fan, I cannot say I'm not pleased with that, you know.
Yeah, fair enough. And I agree with everything that you say there. And this is, I've just been speaking to some people on Twitter, and one of the things which kind of separates Newcastle United as a football club at the minute, not just Steve Bruce, but the onus does fall on Bruce as the manager, is this performance and result is of such magnitude that it should provide a chance for the manager and the players and the football club to salvage what has been a dreadful, dreadful season. You look at those games coming up, and if I was a player in that dressing room, why was Steve Bruce or one of the coaching staff, you think, what an opportunity for us to pilot this league. Let's go and beat West Ham next week. We won't beat them. We'll beat them earlier this season. Let's go and beat them. Arsenal deserve no respect. You know, Arsenal want all of the ball. Don't give them all of the ball. Let's go and beat them. Yeah, it's going to be tough against Leicester away from home, but Fulham have been to Leicester and won. Leeds have been to Leicester and won. It's not impossible. Yeah, Man City at home is a different ballgame, but you never know. You see what Leeds did to them. You know, what an opportunity now with Wilson, St. Maximan fit. And there's still a few injuries, but mostly in the defensive third. Ryan Fraser should be back soon. What an opportunity. However, I fear that it's not going to be like that. I fear that staying in the Premier League, and you know, I think it was Chris Sutton after the game tweeted, imagine if St. Maximan had been fit all season for Newcastle United. And it's like I told Chris Sutton on Five Live, Alisson Maximan doesn't stop Newcastle's first goal going in terms of, Burnley's goal. Alisson Maximan doesn't, you know, can't make Newcastle defend. Alisson Maximan can't make Newcastle play anything like a consistent formation or team. So whilst it is brilliant to have him back, and Newcastle would be further up the league as a result with their best players, I certainly don't think they would be anywhere near the top 10, which I think the squad of this ability and the squad of this depth should be, based on what we know about this season. Norman, you talked there, you know, one player I want to touch on a little bit is Paul Dummett there, because I thought it would be interesting pre-game. You know, Jamal Lascelles out, normally incredibly important to Newcastle. Even if he has the odd bad game himself, organisationally, he's crucial to what goes on. He plays in the middle of the back three when we play the back three. Whereas today, you kind of had two players who want to play on the left side, and Clark and Dummett. And Fernandez coming back after a long time out. Why are we so impressed with his performance, mate?
Well, the first half, I mean, let's look at the back three collectively. Clark had a really poor first half. He made a couple of errors. His positional sense wasn't great. And he looked like somebody who hadn't actually played in the back three. Obviously, that changed in the second half. You know, I mean, I thought some of the defensive work, the kind of, you know, the last ditch, last gasp defending in the second half, some of it was really good. I just thought that Dummett kind of stepped into that role as the, you know, not necessarily the organizer, but the kind of the real physical presence at the back. You know, there was a couple of occasions in the second half where he just got his body in when Burnley, especially when Burnley was swinging corners in, of which there were plenty of them, and putting crosses in. And there was one particular incident. He produced a really good tackle. I think it might have been Burnley on the break and McNeil getting on the ball. That was Vidra. Sorry, Vidra got on the ball second half when Newcastle were 2-1 up. And he just put in a really well-timed tackle. And I think that performance at centre-half from Dummett was the kind of performance that we'd almost gotten used to seeing when he was playing under Benitez, right? You know, that just that very dependable defensive player who was good at covering space, was good at putting tackles in, didn't try anything too elaborate. And I think against Burnley, right, that kind of pragmatic defensive work is absolutely necessary because they're a very pragmatic team, aren't they? And for me, it just really impressed. And I think, obviously, look, Dummett's in at centre-half because of, you know, injuries to Fabian Chi and Jamal Lascelles, right? There's no two ways about it. But ultimately, the injuries that he's had over the course of his career, but particularly since Bruce took over, for him to come in today and to put in that performance, I think was really important to him. And I think him, look, it might sound a bit regionally biased, but I think the fact that we're in this relegation battle and the fact that he's kind of got the club running through his veins, I think that determination is going to be really important between now and the end of the season. And I just think it was a really positive performance from him. And I'm glad I'm based on today's performance and kind of based on Spurs as well. I'm glad to see him back in the team and available.
So am I. I thought Dummett kind of stepped into the role that Clark usually does in our defence, which is like purely as an out and out defender. Don't know what happened there.
Addy, mate. I keep trying to mute myself and I've done it twice today. I did it with Charlotte. Because I'm logged in with a True Faith account without realising it, and I've just clicked on my picture and just made myself. So hello, listeners. I hope you appreciate that.
Dummett kind of stepped into the Clark shoes of just being a defender and just going out there and defending, which Paul Dummett's always been very good at. You know, over the years, he's put in a number of brilliant defensive displays where he doesn't have to do anything else other than defend. And I thought, because Clark kind of played as the central one of the three at the back and Dummett took that position on the left, Clark has to take more responsibility as a leader and as an organiser, which I don't think he's particularly good at. Clark and Dummett are very similar in that they're excellent defenders at defending, but not really at anything else. They're both very limited on the ball. I think they're both not the best at organising, and that really showed, I think, in Clark's performance in the first half that he was slightly out of position. And it's only very subtle the difference in playing in the middle of a back three and playing on the left of a back two, or on the left of a back three, in fact. But it made, in my opinion, a massive difference on Clark's performance. And he really struggled in the first half. What I thought was better, was a great thing about this game, was Clark's performance improved massively in the second half as the teams did. And it wasn't just because we progressed up the pitch, but he settled into the role a bit more and started to do more of the things that he knows how to do well. And in the second half, I thought the defensive unit, those three at the back, were excellent and did everything that they needed to do. It's just curious that we kind of can't really have Dummett and Clark in the same team because they're virtually the same player, despite being really different. Do you sort of know what I mean?
No, I totally agree. I think, I mean, first of all, what formation Newcastle are going to play long term under Steve Bruce, I've got no idea. First win in a long time today. Playing five at the back.
We'll beat Spurs. We'll beat Spurs.
Yeah, come on, Alex.
Sorry, of course. We'll beat Spurs. We'll beat Leeds as well. Let's just say things. But part of me thinks, is Graham Jones, you know, you talk about players knocking on the manager's door wanting to get in the team. Is Graham Jones Monday morning knocking on Steve's door at 9 a.m. and then again at 10 a.m. because Steve doesn't come in that early. To basically say, oh, Steve, you know what I want? I want my diamond back. We've got the lads back. Come on, against West Ham. Diamond split strikers, you know, it makes sense. And Maximan and Wilson as a split strikers. Who knows? But what we do know is Newcastle have lots of centre-backs, but they keep getting injured, like most of the squad under Steve. And I think that I agree with you in this formation that it should be, with everyone fit, potentially Dummett or Clark. But what I liked about Dummett today, and what I've liked about him since his return, and I think you look at the improvement, because Dummett, let's not remember, and we were as bad as anyone for this, Mickey, when we started this podcast back in 2014-15 season. Dummett was something of a laughing stock as a player because he was so culpable on the ball. As a defender, everyone always knew his quality, his passion. But on the ball, he was so far behind his peers on both sides as a footballer. It was, like, funny. And he's had to work on that really, really hard. Like, he's had to go away over the years. And Rafa Benitez, I think, taught him an awful lot about this, about when to play the ball, about where to play the ball, about what to do in possession. And I was impressed today by his composure on the ball and his ability to want to find a pass. I think Clark, who actually has a good range of passing a lot of the time, just hoys it out of play or hoys it clear or kicks it to the other team. That's what I thought Dummett did really well today, was kind of composure. And that composure really helped when we were under pressure, because every time we kicked the ball back to Burnley, particularly in the first half and start of the second half, they would get a chance. And Dummett was kind of alert to that, and that's maybe a little bit of maturity showing through, because he's, you know, he's not getting on, but he's not a young lad anymore. I think he hasn't aged, but he physically he looks like the same 22-year-old who was playing for Pardew back in 14-15 or before that. But I thought he did really well, and I think, again, it's centre back, it's the one position, isn't it, where there's just a lot of competition for places. And I think it, again, this isn't an anti-Steve Bruce show. I want Steve Bruce to do well at Newcastle United. I don't think he is going to do well. But we have a body of evidence to back ourselves up on that. But if he is going to be here long-term, the fact that there is such competition for places in that position is a really good thing still, and bodes well for the future. Another player who has done really well in a part of the pitch where there is genuine competition for places, Norman, is Martin Dubravka. Before this game, and I think the lads on the writer's block, I know the lads on the writer's block, because I listened to the show this week on True Faith YouTube channel, had the debate, Dubravka versus Darlow. And I think that debate has come about because since Dubravka's come back in the team, he hasn't had any of those games where he's won us points. He hasn't had any of those games where you say, best player on the pitch, Martin Dubravka. You look at the two goalkeepers today, and I know Nick Pope was injured, but there was a clear difference in class, I feel, between our goalkeeper and theirs. And I think it's been a little while coming, and it could have been rustiness. It could have been because what in front of him was so catastrophic. But today, mate, he did really well.
He was fantastic today. Quickly on Dummett, do you think that maybe because he's been injured so much, he's barely trained under Bruce, and he just hasn't had a chance to have the ability, like, sort of kicked out of him? And also, he looked older when he had his hair dyed silver, right? Martin Dubravka, regardless of maybe what's gone on beforehand in terms of him not having those games where he's won us points, I ultimately think that the performances have been so shockingly bad in most of those games that, like, you know, who's the best goalkeeper in the world? Who is he? He couldn't have saved a point, you know what I mean? It's one of those where you think, The performances have been that bad. You stick Ronaldo up front, but probably would have struggled. But I think today, for me, it almost underlined why he ought to be in goal first choice all the time. And that's not a criticism of Darlow. It's just saying that Dubravka's a better keeper. And the reason he's a better keeper is, look, his shot stopping today was fantastic, right? He's kind of quick reactions, especially to the Dummett deflection that almost caused him a goal. That was fantastic. But it's his command of the area, right? It's his leadership in the box. And you think, how many times Burnley got the ball in the box, just cross after cross, corner after corner, and Dubravka went for every single one of them. And he was making really brave decisions as well, you know, catching it when it should have been caught, taking the chance and just punching it when, you know, he wasn't going to get these two hands on the ball, but he was still getting himself in there, getting amongst the Burnley players. And look, I mean, you're looking at a keeper who's being attacked by Tarkowski, me, Chris Wood. I mean, this is a team of big units, right? And I think today he just stood up. And I think also without Lascelles being in the side, and again, this is no criticism of Darlow, I don't think Darlow gives that leadership and organisation that Dubravka gives. So when Lascelles is in the side, he gives that, right? When he's not in the team, you need someone like Dubravka in there doing that. And I think that was underlined today. And he was excellent. And again, he's one of those players who is just going to be vital between now and the end of the season. He's going to be vital in the games against, let's see West Ham, let's see Arsenal, you know, the games where we think we might get something. Well, admittedly, I've just watched West Ham absolutely tear Leicester apart, and they've scored three goals in each of the last three games. So, you know, it's going to be a tough match, but Dubravka was just back to his best, right? And look, you have to think as well, there might be a reason that he hasn't been great since coming back, other than the fact that he's been in a poor side. He was injured for a while, right? He's injured for a while, and now he's back to full fitness, back to full strength, and looking great. And also, he had a kid, didn't he? So I'd imagine he's lacked a bit of sleep lately.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And what impressed me about him is that he was targeted. You know, Burnley, was last season, that awful game, and he was basically at fault for the Burnley's winner there in 2019 all day. I mean, Burnley, you know, corners and set pieces are crucial for them, but they, I reckon their corner takers have basically been told, put the ball on Martin Dubravka, put the ball on the day, and he dealt with it. He dealt with it brilliantly. He didn't try to overcomplicate things, and much like Alisson Maximan, who basically has, you know, come on within 5 minutes, set up a goal and scored a goal to win the game, maybe keep Newcastle in the Premier League. Dubravka, I feel, go right back to his debut against Manchester United. He thrives on responsibility. And that's probably why both of those players could be playing at a higher level than Newcastle United, I feel. And I don't want them to. And I'm pleased they've both been signed up on long-term deals. That's good business by the club. Credit to them for that. Not many players. You know, you're seeing it with Jesse Lingard at West Ham. Actually, I think he's gone into West Ham and he's the main man and he's thriving on it. You get players like that. So it's really positive to see. Bruce, after the game, you know, talking about he needs his best players, which is, you know, a bit of a cop-out, particularly for the other players. Like, how are Joe Linton and Dwight Gayle supposed to feel? Basically, Bruce saying that we cannot win unless Wilson and St. Maximan plays. Norman, you want to talk about a player who massively divides opinion, unlike the two lads we're talking to, and that's Jonjo Shelvey.
My overwhelming and overriding emotion today is of happiness, right? It's a huge result, right? Regardless of everything that's gone on, regardless of the dislike of Steve Bruce, in terms of my football club, Newcastle United Football Club, that was a massive win, right? And there have been so many positives, as I say. But what I will say is that, you know, if we're picking performances out that, I mean, not necessarily flatter to the sea, but just seemed to be non-existent. I genuinely today looked at the pitch and was looking at what was happening and thinking, what's Jonjo Shelvey on the pitch for in this game? Like, I don't think he contributed at all. I suppose you could say he had the assist for Maximan's goal, right? Because he was the one who gave him the ball in his own half. But I think that might actually count as an assist. But I think I just look at that game today and I look at the games between now and the end of the season. I look at Man City, Arsenal, West Ham, Leicester, and I just think, in those games, to improve the team or to improve our chances, I genuinely think a different option, i.e. someone like Matty Longstaff alongside his brother Sean, because Sean was excellent today, by the way. He was really good. He basically did Shelvey's running and his own, and he was all over the place. And I just think that, you know, if we're bringing Maximan coming back, Wilson coming back, positives, then let's look at the bigger picture and actually, what has Shelvey done? Like, lately, what has he done that justifies his ongoing selection and the fact that he completes 90 minutes every single game? I'm not seeing it. And look, I'm willing to take criticism for it if I'm completely and utterly wrong. So dive in, lads, if you have any, or obviously listeners, you know.
I think you're completely right. I can never get my head around how Jonjo continues to get a start just by contributing nothing in the games. He actually offers nothing. He doesn't contribute defensively whatsoever. He can't tackle. He doesn't track his man. He doesn't stand in the right position. He's routinely passed around with a quick 1-2, which is so basic, and you see it over and over and over again. And I'm almost lost for words that he continues to have a run in the team. And then you think about what the options have been over the course of the season, and you can make an argument, though I think it's wrong. You can make an argument that Shelvey is being the best of a bad bunch. But then you look at the way Longstaff's come back in the team over the last 2 weeks and looked excellent and offered everything that Shelvey hasn't in both ends of the pitch. And then you think about having Joe Willock on the bench, who's better than Shelvey in every single attribute being a central midfielder. And you just think, why on earth is Joe Willock being brought in to sit on the bench when he's clearly better than Shelvey? And then, Norman, you're saying there, we're bringing back in these players, Maximan and Wilson, dynamic, fast players that we can use on the break, we can use through transition football. And Jonjo Shelvey completely stops that dead in the middle of the park. Put Willock in there, who is dynamic and who can carry the ball and can break quickly. And it transforms that whole team. The central midfield positions are the two most important positions, two or three, depending on how many you play, positions on the pitch. And playing Shelvey in one of them is just a catastrophe.
I think Willock and everything else. Sorry, I do. I think Willock and Sean Longstaff could work really well in the sense that, they, as you mentioned there, they're both, not only, I mean, Willock especially dynamic, but there's just like a lot of energy there, right? And in these games that are coming up, that energy is going to be vital, and Willock especially. I mean, look, Longstaff's box to box. I just think that Willock is a better in the box player, so he would offer more of a goal threat than Sean Longstaff. But in a sense, with Hayden being out, you could almost look at it like Longstaff kind of taking on the Hayden responsibilities, right? But also offering a bit more in the sense that he can get forward and create a little bit. And Willock just given that energy, and that isn't something we get from Shelvey. And it's not like Shelvey's in the team even offering the kind of Hollywood passes and creating, you know, and putting into space for runners to get onto, or offering anything from set pieces. It's like literally at the moment, it feels like he's just offering nothing other than a body on the pitch, and everyone's hypercritical of Jeff Henrik. And to be perfectly honest with you, at the minute, I don't necessarily think Shelvey contributes much more than Henrik does when he's playing. That might sound harsh, but it's just how I'm seeing it. So I would prefer Willock and Longstaff in there.
I'll disagree slightly, lads. I thought Shelvey had an okay game today. I agree generally with both of your points about him, but we haven't seen Willock, you know, who is an excellent offensive player. Whether Shelvey is doing this out of choice or out of because he's just not fit enough to keep up with attacking play, I thought he retained possession fairly well today in the defensive part of the pitch when we're under a lot of pressure. Now, that, don't get us wrong, don't think you should be in the team just because you can play a pass to a teammate. But we've seen with Isaac Hayden, we've seen with Jeff Henrik at times that, you know, that has been an issue, giving the ball away when under pressure. And Shelvey, I thought, covered quite well. He defended all right. Is he going to be able to do that against other teams? No, because Burnley, I mean, let's be real. Newcastle had 3-man midfield against Burnley's 2-man midfield today. So I thought Shelvey was better because of that, because he didn't have to do as much running. Normally spot on that, because Sean Longstaff is everywhere, he's so athletic, he's everything John Joe Shelvey isn't in terms of being the first man back to help out defensively and the first man to support in attack. And maybe Joe Willock as well would be the same given that opportunity. I just thought Shelvey was all right today, certainly better than previous because of the defensive work. And I've said on loads of podcasts that it's insane that's his role in this team, that Steve Bruce gives him. You know, even when Hayden was fit, he had Shelvey playing at the base of the diamond and Hayden on the left, which is so ridiculous I don't even want to get into it. But I thought in terms of his ability today on the ball, and I'm going to do an Adam here from the True Faith podcast who reverts back to whoscored.com for player ratings. And they had John Joe Shelvey as the third best player on the pitch today behind Dubravka and St. Maximan.
It's all made up, man. It's all
around. I'll agree with you there. Before I talk a little bit more about Longstaff then, mate Norman, you want to come in?
I think you made a reasonable point there about today's performance. I guess I'm more basing that on recent performances and looking at the rest of the season. So he may have had a half-decent game today, a reasonable game, however you want to frame it, and wherever you got those statistics from. I'm guessing there's an element of subjectivity in those ratings, right? But I'm kind of more looking at it as in who we've got coming up as opponents and what Shelvey's role in those particular games will be. I just think today, okay, it was okay. But I think those games coming up are going to need someone who is just more energetic. But you know what? Hey, he might be brilliant between now and the end of the season. I might be just chatting shit as ever.
No, I totally agree with you. I don't think you're chatting shit at all. And I think someone made the point earlier on social media. I didn't quite catch who it was, but someone said, if you look at what West Ham done this season different, Moyes just plays the same formation. They basically play 4-2-3-1 with all the best players in their best positions, and everyone knows how they play. The complete opposite of Newcastle United, where we'll change formation regularly, and players like Miguel Almirón, like Jonjo Shelvey, are almost like, you know, picked regardless, even though I want Almirón to be picked, but like shoehorned into formations and roles in the squad just because Bruce doesn't want to drop them. So, and it doesn't make any sense, and eventually it catches up with you. And you're right that, well, I'm right, that it might work against Burnley, but it ain't going to work against West Ham, like that kind of thing. So I want to talk about Longstaff really quickly, purely because he just seems to generate a lot of hate. You know, I made the point earlier this season that I thought, if you'd looked at Newcastle's better games after the start of the season, Longstaff played against Palace. He played against Everton at home. He came in against Spurs last week and he played there. I always just seem to associate good Newcastle or better Newcastle performances with Sean Longstaff, even though he, you know, we talked about the podcast last week. I think he tries to move the ball quickly, and that sometimes means he loses possession. But, you know, the gamble of trying to get the ball to a player in an attacking position more quickly than taking two or three touches like some of his midfield colleagues seems to incense certain fans. Norman, you've just written, because he's a Geordie, and I think there's something about that. There is something about that. I would rather Sean Longstaff does well than Jeff Hendrick. Not that I have anything against Jeff Hendrick beyond his performances for Newcastle. It's that I want the local lads to do well. I want them in the team. I want Sean and Matty to be our midfield too. I want Paul Dummett and Andy Carroll from 12 years ago to be in that team. It's, you know, that means something, players that come through the academy. But I think Sean Longstaff has to stay in this team, you know, until the end of the season. I mean, the you know, this isn't a criticism of Bruce because we're criticizing plenty, but I thought it was hilarious to bring Jeff Hendrick on at the end. It was just like a testimonial. Like, go on, Jeff, you get yourself on, mate. You remember playing here, do you? Go on, run on again. But fair enough, you know, race and time or whatever. But anyway, I thought Sean Longstaff was really good, and I think now, in this formation at least, he's someone who understands his role a little bit better than maybe other players. He's just got to be everywhere. And he is everywhere, and he won some crucial 50-50s. And he never shirks out of a challenge. He's kind of a complete player. And I think he's so young still, and he's still played so few games at the top level. He can only get better, even under Bruce Norman.
Just quickly, a couple of things. I said because he's a Geordie. I think it's interesting. I think there's a certain element in the fan base, and it's probably every fan base that. Almost like when a young player from the region comes through, if they're not absolutely magnificent, I mean, obviously Shearer didn't come through the Newcastle Academy, but he's just a world-class player, right? World-class footballer. And it's almost like if they're not world-class, like they're kind of easier to criticise. It's almost like you want to see them be world-class so much, you want to see them be brilliant so much that like anytime they make a mistake, it's like you pick up on it straight away. So I think, you know, I think Dummett gets a lot of grief, who maybe another defender of a similar ilk probably wouldn't get as much. I think you could make the same argument about Shola Amiobi when he played as well. But, you know, that this might be a podcast for a different time. What I would say about Longstaff is one of the reasons that Longstaff's probably excelling at the minute, right, is because, and Willock has made it, you know, Willock's alluded to this when he came off the bench the other week, Bruce basically says, just run around a lot, right? And for Longstaff, I mean, he's literally covering every blade of grass. So it probably works out pretty well from that kind of minimal instruction. It's just like, just work hard. And that's what he's doing. And like you say, mate, I think we're a better side with him in there. And that doesn't necessarily mean he's creating loads. He's, you know, he's playing magnificently. But what he's doing is he's covering every single blade of grass, right? And that's really important when you're in a relegation battle.
Much like his brother would as well. Matty's exactly the same kind of player, isn't he? Puts 100% in and covers a massive amount of ground on the pitch. It's so effective having that in the middle of the park because it limits space and opportunity for the other team. Seems so basic, but it's like something that's been so missing for Newcastle for a long time that when Longstaff comes back in the team and does it, it's like, bloody hell, look at that. Like, look how effective that is. I saw Norman, your point on being a Geordie, it's interesting and it's right, totally right, and you've named a good few examples from years gone by. It's interesting when you frame that with a narrative that we get slammed to us by the national press all the time, that we only want Geordies managing the club, we only want Geordies playing for the club, but, you know, we hate everyone that's from London, blah, 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 all of that absolute rubbish. The reality of that is actually the total opposite is true, and that Newcastle fans, generally speaking, are extremely critical of people that are from here and love people that aren't from here that come here and get it. Like, I just think it's interesting that actually that narrative is the opposite of the reality.
You're not suggesting that national media outlets deliberately mislead people, are you, Maggie?
I wouldn't do that.
Well, just, you know, to give a quick plug for the 1892 pledge scheme, which we launched at the Trust on Thursday. We've got Warren Barton on board, and if there's anyone who understands Newcastle United, Newcastle as a city, it's Warren Barton, a guy who played across the country, a guy who played for England, a guy who lives in America, a guy who's not from here, and he absolutely understands and knows this football club, to back you up. So he's one of our guardians that look after the 45,000 we've raised so far, which we're hoping to bring in monthly to buy a proportion of the club. If you're interested, head to 1892pledge.co.uk. But we did a podcast, a whole podcast, me and Mark Corby, on this topic, so I'll stop talking about it for now. I want to talk a little bit about the rest of the season and the relegation picture as is, lads. But I suppose first, I do want to get into, you know, the overall performance and what you thought about the start of the game, the formation. Because let's face it and let's be real. You know, I've said at the top of the show, I don't think there's that many Steve Bruce fans listening to this podcast. But you have to give credit. You know, I thought we'd lose today. I thought we'd lose 2-0. I thought Burnley were better than us and the first half bore out. But even though the commentator said it was an inspired substitution to bring on your best player, Steve Bruce had to win today, in my opinion. I've said that about 5 times in the past 8 weeks. But he has won. He has won. And like, we're 17th. We're still shit. We're still 17th. I'm certainly not going to be changing my opinion very time soon. But he has paid to win football matches as Newcastle United manager. And today he won. And he can be pleased with that. And we're all pleased with that. And we're going to West Ham next week. 2 unbeaten. Not quite the 2 wins in a row Steve claims it is. But it's still 2 unbeaten. And it's, you know, it's. I'm looking forward to the game. However, Norman, you know, you sent me some messages before the game about your thoughts on what had happened, and I think you particularly wanted to touch on the kind of disconnect that there is between Bruce's instruction and what the players actually do and the impact it has on the game. For example, Alan St-Maximin and the equaliser.
100%. First of all, though, just to kind of paint a picture for you, I think that Steve will be getting double helpings of custard and apple pie from his good lady this evening after that victory. But this has happened on a couple of occasions. We've seen that, and Bruce has admitted this himself, right? He's not a tactical manager. And none of these coaches on the sidelines inspire that kind of opinion as well. You don't look at them and think, oh, they. So like, let's say, for example, you know, Ferguson at Man U, when he realised that he realised the game was evolving and it was more about tactics and micromanaging, right? He brings in Steve McLaren, he brings in Carlos Queiroz, right? I mean, he brings in people who are there for that kind of tactical input, right? And this happens, you know, you do get figurehead managers whose coaching staff do all the tactics. That doesn't seem to be the case at Newcastle. Jones, you can say, was brought in for that, but ultimately he plays one formation. There is a disconnect between the players, and Bruce brought on Maximin and Wilson as straight swaps for Joe Linton and Gale. So the same formation. And to me, it looked like that wasn't necessarily consciously ignored by those two players, right? But Maximin for sure reverted to his natural position, even though it doesn't appear when he came on, he was supposed to be necessarily in that position. He just did it in any way. And I think we've done a couple of podcasts this season where we've mentioned the exact same point. It's been like, aye, hold on. Something's happened. Yeah, the players have just taken this on themselves. And as I say, whether that's a conscious or unconscious decision, I don't know. But that, again, it reflects for me the fact that there isn't a kind of tactical switch as such. It is literally just replacement for replacement. And then the players kind of figuring it out for themselves. And today, obviously, they did figure it out themselves because Maximin was absolutely fantastic. He did everything right. Again, like, oh, I may be absolutely wrong on what I'm positing there, but it's just how I feel when I see Maximin come on and just drift into his own position in any ways.
We've seen it before a couple of times recently with Gale, who's supposed to have been playing as one of the split strikers and just ends up in the middle of the park. I guess there's something in that, like a natural instinct for a footballer when you've played in a certain position for 20 years and then the manager makes up a new one and you have to try and play there. You're going to instinctively end up back in your own position, but I think it's more conscious than that. I think there's a definite intent from the players to play the style that they know because they don't think that the style that the manager's imposing on them is going to work. I think that's right.
Yeah, and it's interesting, isn't it, that I saw the Chronicle today had put in their 5 things, I think Kieran Kelly's article, 5 things, discussion points, whatever, from the match was 3-5-2/5-3-2 here to stay. I just think it's a formation that takes anything that's good about this Newcastle United. So what's good about this Newcastle United with everyone fully fit? It's Callum Wilson, Alan St-Maximin on the left wing, Miguel Almirón, possibly as a second striker or behind the striker. And, you know, you could go a little bit more by going into other positions. But I think they are the 3 big ones for Newcastle. The 3 bits of quality, when we play other teams, when we play Burnley, when we play West Ham, they're going to be like Miguel Almirón, Callum Wilson, Alan St-Maximin. And playing this 5-3-2 system means that only one of those players gets to play in their natural position, which is a massive problem. And you saw, I mean, St. Maximin did what he did through the middle of the pitch for the second goal. I mean, he tends to drift in anyway. So I agree with you, Norman, that he went out wide today because, and you saw that for Murphy. We haven't even mentioned Murphy. Brilliant goal, by the way, from Murphy. But, you know, Murphy isn't a right wing back, but that's the only real system that Bruce seems willing to play him. St. Maximin, by going out wide, dragged the whole of the Burnley defence out of position, dragged three players in front of him. But you almost get the instructions. We don't know what the instructions are. Bruce might have said, listen, Alan, I want you to play alongside Callum, but make sure you get down the flanks as well. Like, who knows? I mean, I think I'm being kind there, but I would like to at least give the manager a little bit of credit for a good win. But you'd think if you assume that wasn't the case, then St. Maximin should have been in the box. Someone else should have been at the byline, and it would have gone back to a centre back, and it would have gone back to the keeper. And this is the good thing today about it was a massive win, key win, dead happy, really pleased, well done team, well done Steve, fair enough. But when you try and analyse the future, it's not sustainable because Burnley should have won that game today. Burnley come off, Sean Dyche after the game, Burnley should have won that game today based on the balance of play and based on the balance of chances. Fair enough. You know, I can't think of that many times in the Steve Bruce, but everyone listening to this and watching this will have recalled games that we battered the opposition, should have won and didn't. So it's nice to be on the other side of that for a change. But this is the constant thing about Steve Bruce's Newcastle United. There's nothing beyond the here and now. Someone today in our WhatsApp group said, the way that Bruce talks in press conferences, you don't even know who, you feel like he doesn't even know who we've got next week. Because unless we're playing a good team, like a top six team, either we'll keep the same formation because it did all right last week. So regardless of, you know, who knows how West Ham have done against teams that play five at the back this season? I don't know. But I know that our 4-4-2 caused them loads of problems. I know early in the season, West Ham actually got the second best record at home in the Premier League. And we are one of the few teams to have gone and won there this season playing 4-4-2. And fair enough, they might have a bad record against teams with against 5-3-2, but do we really think Bruce looks into it? Does he really look at what the opposition weaknesses are? Or now we won today because of some brilliance from one player, and fair play to Murphy for the goal, but it was one player who won this game for Newcastle today, or two players if you look at Dubravka. You worry about the impact on the future. And what if West Ham turn up at St. James's next week and win 3-0? Does that then mean we're going to the Arsenal game or whoever we've got after, or Liverpool, whoever we've got after that, and play four at the back? It's kind of the lack of long-term planning which concerns you. And that's, I go back to my earlier point, you would hope that the last two results can take us to an even better position rather than this being a baseline. You know, this is like, right, we're 17th, we're 6 points clear of Fulham. This is it. Job done. Doesn't matter. And you saw that at the end of last season. I remember doing podcasts after we beat Bournemouth away last season thinking, this is a real opportunity to get to 50 points for only the second time under Mike Ashley. This is a real opportunity to get to the top 10. Yet you hear Steve Bruce and his advocates talk about last season like it was some sort of minor miracle, finishing 13th on 43 points. You saw Isaac Hayden get dropped this season, and maybe it's the conspiracy theorist, but Isaac Hayden comes in and says last season, as soon as we were safe, the whole place basically shut down for the summer. He was dropped the next game for saying that. Whether it's because of that, I can only speculate. Mickey, let's talk about the bigger picture stuff. Now, do you think Newcastle are safe from relegation?
You're making me go first and say it out loud. No, I don't think...
That is the idea of a podcast.
Yeah, I don't think we're safe, but I think we're as close as we can get, to be honest now. Fulham have lost form at the worst possible time, and they've got a seriously bad run of games. I think we're safe by virtue of not ourselves, though. Like, it's not our doing that we're safe. It's just that the bottom three have been so terrible that we're probably going to survive on 35 points, which is a dismal points total. To get that now, we only need one more win out of the remaining games. So if you put me on the spot, yeah, I would say that we are safe. But like, it's like skin of the teeth stuff. And in virtually any other season with any other bottom three, we would be in there.
Norman?
Spot on. I think we're not safe. Clearly not, you know, we're not mathematically safe by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think that we will still up new. I think Fulham's collapse in form has really convinced me that, you know, barring an absolute collapse by us. I mean, I'm talking losing every game between now and the end of the season, which, you know, as bad as we've been on occasion, I didn't see we losing seven games off the spin, like, and I didn't see Fulham making up which is what is quite a big deficit, even though, you know, I was talking about West Brom perhaps staying up earlier on. West Brom are in a different kettle of fish to Fulham. But I think we'll be fine. But as you've both said, it's still a little bit depressing that we'll likely survive on 35 points. I mean, that is such a paltry total. And it kind of ties back into what you were talking about a second ago, Alex, in terms of looking at the whole as opposed to just today's performance. And I think when I'm expressing my happiness at today's performance, it's because I'm kind of only looking at it in the context of today. It's like one win, one half decent performance. I'm going to enjoy that. But ultimately, if you do look at the bigger picture, we're still in just as bad an overall position as we were before the game, 10 games again, whatever. So I'm going to enjoy today's win, but ultimately I'm still going to have one eye on the reality, which is Steve Bruce is not going to take this club forward. It's only going to continue to go backwards on him.
It's interesting. When we did a live reaction show straight after the game, and over the course of the podcast, we went from being quite positive because we had that instant reaction to a big 3 points. By the end of the podcast, 35 minutes later, we were all pretty negative again because we'd kind of analysed the match and realised that Newcastle had been making the same mistakes as we've been making all season in this game, and we've just managed to come out at the end of it with a win, which is uncommon. We're still terrible in possession on the ball. We're still conceded most possession. We're still conceded a massive amount of territory against a terrible Burnley side. We still allowed them to play their own style of football. We still allowed them to overload our box with crosses, which we dealt with well. But if Burnley could have chosen how they wanted to play the game today, they would have said, we want to get the ball in the box a lot. And we've just completely allowed them to do it. It's like we never, ever learn from anything that's happened before. And that's what's going to continue to happen under this management team. Like, we'll never get any better really than we are now, because we're never going to learn from our mistakes. So whether or not we stay up on 35 points or not, we'll come to the first day of the season next season and we'll be making the same mistakes again and doing the same mental things again. It's just depressing, isn't it? Like,
it's a good point. I think the first half reminded me a bit of Brighton. We just absolutely and utterly ceded to what they wanted to do. I thought that first half, regardless of Gale's chance in the penalty that was never given but should have been, we were equally as bad as we were Brighton, just completely passive and allowing them to dominate. But fortunately, we've got coming back to fitness. And look, the thing is with Maximan, you look at his career since he got to Newcastle, there's every chance he starts the next game and pulls up after 20 minutes with an injury. That's the reality. We're so absolutely reliant on the talent of a wonderful, wonderful footballer that it is disconcerting. And look, we are probably going to start next season with that same reliance on, you know, the key performances by a few brilliant individuals.
That's if he doesn't sign for someone better than us.
And that's the thing, you know, it's very hard in our position as Newcastle United fans under Mike Ashley to not want, if teams are coming in for your players, it means they're doing well. So you want your players to do well. But also it's kind of horrible to know that Maximan should probably be at a bigger club than Newcastle United. He'll know that. He'll have those ambitions. What's he now, 23? You know, so he will have those ambitions. And I go back to what I said earlier. I think he's such a talent. To me, he would walk into the England squad, and England have got some very, very good attacking players. And I'm biased because he plays for Newcastle, but on his day, he is that good. You know, Norman, we had the conversation yesterday, and we talked a little bit about it on the Charlotte show pre-match, that when we beat Burnley at our place, they were missing Ben Mee and James Tarkowski. Not many players put James Tarkowski on their arse like he did today. In fact, I'd say I've never seen anyone do that before. It looked amateurish, and this is an England international. So, you know, that, fantastic. And Mickey, I agree with you that we probably are safe. Norman, I agree that there's more to be done. My concern is that earlier in the season when we got, 11 points ahead of West Brom, 11 points clear of the relegation zone after we beat West Brom, though it crept in again. The feeling of, let's go to Man City and let's declare it 0-2 and let's get out of there and who's grinning after the game. And we compare that to Marcelo Bielsa at Leeds yesterday. Delighted but wanting more from the players, wanting to create more. There's a difference in mentality, and I always fear that mentality. And this is not just Steve Bruce. I believe it permeates throughout the football club, right from the very top, and Mike Ashley. So it's not just on him, this issue. He can't change it by himself as much as Rafa Benitez tried to change it. There's a fear that if these players and that manager start to think we're safe, then we could get relegated still. They need to go into West Ham and think it's as big a game as Burnley, as big a game, laughing, as Brighton. So maybe they need to think it's a not important game to try and actually produce a performance in the first half. I don't know. But they need to take something from that game. And today I thought, and I said this after the Spurs game, Norman, which we were both on together, I thought that, you know, the result was all important today. The performance didn't matter. Whereas next week, assuming Fulham lose their next two against Arsenal and Chelsea, Arsenal away, Chelsea at home, tough games, those games. You wouldn't expect them to win those games. You know, for me, the performance is important next week against West Ham. You know, you want to see something better than we saw today. Because if you keep stinking out the place but picking up a point, then how are we supposed to ever look forward to anything ever under this manager? Rumours of a new contract if he keeps you up this season.
I think that reality kind of sunk in a couple of months ago. I think we even had a conversation about the fact that if he keeps who up, and he's only got 1 year left in his contract, what'll happen is he'll end up signing a new contract around about sort of December time by the latest. If we're outside the relegation, we still have this season, but outside the relegation zone in December, there'll be a new contract. As long as Mike Ashley's here, I don't doubt it. Now, look, do I want to see Newcastle put out excellent performances? Do I believe that it's going to happen under Steve Bruce and his team? No, I didn't. So ultimately for me, the result, and Steve Bruce says it himself, doesn't he? It's about the accumulation of points, right? And he said it twice in his interview, his post-match interview today at the BBC. I'm at the stage right now, under Steve Bruce, because I know it's never going to get better in terms of the quality of performances, right? But, you know, we might have the occasional one peppered in here and there when a player like Maximan is in the side and he turns it on. Someone like Wilson, like against Everton away when he was basically Roy of the Rovers. They'll happen. But under Bruce, I'm kind of buying into his logic if it's about the accumulation of points. Literally, the performances didn't matter. West Ham, if you're looking at Fulham's next two games and there's every chance they'll lose both those matches, we beat West Ham, and I know West Ham are fantastic, but they are beatable, right? They are. And they're going to be under pressure themselves because and this win today against Leicester has put them in a position where they're in the top four, right? Pressure's going to come with that. There's going to be pressure on them in this game against Newcastle to maintain that, right? They were outside of it before they played Leicester. So it's a chance. We beat them, regardless how bad the performance might be. We beat them. That's it. We're safe. But you're more or less saying that we're safe. And I want them to stay up. And I think under Steve Bruce, unfortunately, the limit of our ambition is to stay in the Premier League until he guns. So for me, get the win. The performance is secondary to it, ultimately.
Well, he said it himself, didn't he? He admitted his remit is to get a 17th to stay in the Premier League, and it looks like he's going to achieve it. What he said to Alex before is an important point. Like, if the lads think that that's the goal and they think that they're almost there, the world down tools, it's natural. It doesn't just happen in Newcastle. It happens across world football, and that's the real danger because, you know, normally you've said there, Arsenal and Chelsea are difficult games for Fulham, but they might beat them. They went to Liverpool and won. If they get 3 points out of one of those games, it puts the onus back on us to keep maintaining the gap. And then we'll obviously have to travel there last day of the season. If we travel to Fulham on the last day of the season, needing more than 0 points out of it to stay up, we'll go down. That's how it works with Newcastle. So that's what we need to avoid. And I don't know. You haven't listened to you say that. I kind of retract my we're safe, and I'm not necessarily certain that we are.
Breaking news as it happens, Mickey. Fluid opinions on the True Faith podcast. That will do it for today. It's been a pleasure to talk to you too. Thanks very much for your time. Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you listen on the podcast, please, if you haven't already, think about leaving us a 5-star review with a comment on Apple Podcasts, if that is your chosen platform of choice. And if you're watching on YouTube, please consider subscribing to the channel. We do these every week, so you'll get a little notification when we do them and appear in your newsfeed, Norman.
What if someone wants to leave a 4-star review?
Then don't even think about it.
Oh, right, fair enough. It's got to be 5. Got you.
Only be 5. Just like Newcastle, only 5 at the back. So 5 at the back, 5 stars. Anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We will be back after West Ham with another one of these and hopefully another great win, if not a good performance, like Norman says. Cheers. Goodbye.